Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Possibility Mindset Podcast. I'm Devin Henderson. I am your host, and I believe that something greater is always possible for you. I really do believe it. It's not just a catchphrase. It's something greater is always possible. I love that. It's true for you. Yep. Clifton, my man, we're going to introduce him here in just one second. We've been friends for a long time.
Long time.
So we got, you know, a little catching up to do. And this is going to be a fun one, man. I'm excited. It's always fun to have someone from your past on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, it brings this old soul feeling to the new podcast, if that makes any kind of sense. So let's start off by thanking our sponsor, Etc. Shiny, for providing us some drinks this morning. You got some drinks.
I had some Diet Coke.
Diet Coke. How's the diet? I think that's the first time someone got a soda Diet Coke in here. Hi, Sonia. Yeah, we started recording without you, Sonia. Sorry, but we're good. So. Yeah, I'm more like a celebrity these days because Zach sets up, so I pop in at the last second. Yeah. You know, I got important things going on. So that's right. That's right. So anyway, that's off cam. That's Sonia over there. She's rocking it as usual. The regular listeners know Sonia. She's kind of becoming like a character. So they don't see your face. But one day we're going to get you on here. Yep. We'll get Zach on here too. So awesome. So speaking of et cetera, I said et cetera in pop Sonia. She just knew, she was waiting for it. But thank you for that. Also watch the full experience on YouTube. Subscribe, share it so we can extend our impact and show other people how to never stop asking the question, what else is possible? Also, if you're listening on Apple, iTunes, give us a rating. Give us a 5-star rating. Is it presumptuous, don't even know if that's the word, to ask for a 5-star.
You might think so, but everybody does it.
Everybody does it. So, and I want to be like everybody. I don't want to be me. I want to be like them.
Everybody does it, Devin.
5-star
just do it.
Review.
5 stars.
Leave us a comment. So anyway, that's it. Well, one more thing before we introduce Clifton is exciting announcement. I'm 117 days off coffee.
That's amazing. Man.
It's the longest I've gone without. Yeah. Thank you, Sonia. You're excited for me too. So 117 days. I was telling you, I kind of feel like a vegetarian now in the sense that to me, coffee's like the meat. It used to be the meat of my morning drinks, right? It's that rich, bold flavor. That's gone now. It's more just mushrooms, green tea.
Yeah.
And even though coffee is technically comes from a plant, it feels more meaty in nature.
Sure,
So anyway, I just want to let you all know about Mudwater. You've heard me talk about it several times. Go to mudwater.com/Devin. That's mud and then water is WTR because they're artsy. .com/Devin. You get less the amount of caffeine. You get all kinds of amazing nutrients, mushrooms, cacao, turmeric, that's going to boost your immunity, help your focus, and not give you that afternoon crash. So just give it a try. See what you think. Mudwater.com/Devin. We will link to that in the show notes. And now it is time to introduce my good friend, Clifton Alexander.
What's up?
I'm actually kind of giddy, man.
This is great.
So excited to have you
here.
I love
seeing you.
Just look at his face. Look at the orange glasses. It's how can you not be happy? You even got
happy.
Are we going to call it a mohawk or a mullet? What's happening?
It's like that. I don't know what it is.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. I'm making a change too. I've kind of just
Your
gone
hair's
with
gotten
more of a
big.
Flow.
Yeah.
I'm just it's gotten big.
Yeah.
That's a great term for it. And I don't even know what you call it these days either. So what do you got going on there? I don't know. A mullet flow, 80s Bon Jovi look.
A flow.
I'm going for the Patrick Swayze. Don't know if I'm going to have quite the body for it, but
you're getting there. I love it.
Now I just need to get the Chippendale body and go for it, right? And go all in. It might be the Chris Farley version of the Chippendale body, but
dude, the dad bod.
The dad bod.
Everybody likes the dad bod.
All right, man. Okay, so Clifton is a mountain boy, originally from SoCal, Southern California. Clifton came to the Midwest. Because who wouldn't want to go from California to the Midwest? I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Hey.
He came here to attend the esteemed Kansas City Art Institute. And so after working for several local agencies and creative roles, he founded Reactor Design. So he has appeared on national television, been featured in countless publications, and guided the studio to more than 200 design awards. Let me just pause and say, wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
His philosophy that there's no point in designing something unless it's awesome permeates the soul of Reactor and helps the drive to achieve better results for clients. Clifton was honored as a rising star by KC Business Magazine. Now you're just a star, right? At one time regular, it was a rising star, but now you're just a star.
Yeah.
So and that was by the Business Magazine, and the firm was named one of the Kansas City's top 25 small businesses from Thinking Bigger Business Media. You just like all over the media and the award space, man. That's great. So although he prefers the much warmer and more consistent weather that SoCal offers, I don't know what you're talking about. It's beautiful here today in Kansas City,
I have to say. I will say.
They're going to listen to this later, but it's like March, early March, and it's like amazing already. Nice. So it's been a weird winter. Anyway, no tangents today, Devin. No tangents. he and his wife, Holly, have chosen to remain in Kansas City because of not the weather, but the vibrant creative community and the fact that it's an amazing place to raise their three awesome kids. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome with me, Clifton Alexander.
Thank you. There you are. Appreciate it. Thanks. Yeah.
I don't know if we need to add the cheesy applause in there, Zach, just for fun. Yay. So, man, great to have you here.
It's good to see you. Yeah.
It's great to see you too.
It's good to see you.
We go back.
Way back.
Should we share some like origin story or how we.
Okay. So, I was telling you this earlier. I have a fun. I have a fun memory of you.
Okay, let's
Whenever
have it.
Anybody says, oh, you know Devin Henderson? I go, oh, I know Devin. In fact, back in college days, we didn't go to the same college, but we were involved in some of the same groups.
Yes.
Youth groups or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
College age. We were on a, I don't know, we were going to a retreat or something.
Okay.
On a big van with a bunch of kids on it.
Okay.
And Devin over here, even back at the ripe old age of, I don't know, 19 or something, was in the back of the van doing card tricks for the kids all the way down from wherever, hours, card tricks for kids in the back of the van on the way to some retreat or whatever.
Wow.
And so I tell that story because I love the fact that you've been performing for people since you were a teenager. I don't even know what it started before then.
Yeah.
And that has manifested itself into your life's work, your career, maybe a book, all those sorts of things.
Hmm.
And to me, that's a really cool piece of the story that I love to tell people if they ask me if I know you. And I go, oh, I know him. All the way from back in the day of doing card tricks in the back of a van at the age of like 19.
Man, I appreciate that story. Yeah. It honestly makes me think of you because I was asking you, Where did the orange thing come from? Because orange has always been part of your brand. And you just said as a kid, I was like, was it your favorite color as a kid? And you just said you liked bright colors. So it makes me think, I was doing this as a kid. I started when I was 11.
Okay.
Well, you've always been into art. You came to the Art Institute. It's grown into what you are. So could you, for you, take us back to where this whole design art thing started as a kid even, maybe?
Well, and honestly, I wasn't always into art.
Okay.
Not until basically high school.
Okay.
And so I was a sports kid. I played baseball and football and basketball and everything you can imagine. I was a sports kid.
Okay. All right.
And there was in my town where I lived, a little tiny town, there just happened to be this world-class art high school. And when
what town are you from?
Idlewild, California.
Say it again.
Idlewild. Okay. It's a little tiny town in the mountains in California.
If you're from Idlewild, California, you've got a comment. Let us know.
Yeah,
man.
Or if you know where it is, it's up in the mountains. A lot of people went to summer camp up there and some other things like that.
I mean,
but,
you grew up in like paradise, basically.
It was incredible.
Southern California.
Incredible.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, mountain biking and rock climbing and then all the sports, the other sports.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I did as a kid. That's all. That was my entire identity.
All right.
And I had the opportunity to go to the arts high school. There's a whole story behind that I won't go into, but I had an opportunity to go there. And at the time I said 100% no. Like, I'm not an artist. I want sports. They don't have sports there. They don't even barely have PE.
Okay.
Right. So why would I go to school there? Right. I want to play sports. I want to do this.
Yeah.
And my mom and her infinite sense of wisdom, which parents tend to have about their kids, she said, you have to try this. You're a good kid. I know the sports is a thing, but maybe you're destined to be an artist. And I was like, no way, man.
Did she see something? Like, did
she
you
must
draw
have
pictures?
Seen something.
Yeah. I was like, you didn't.
I'm not a drawer, but she saw some kind of creative. I still can't draw to this day.
There's something
about it that she saw.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's also a thought process of saying you have an opportunity to go to one of the top private art high schools in the entire world.
Oh,
and it just happens to be in our town.
Crazy.
You're able to go there for this other weird reason. But she's like, why don't you just try it one semester?
Okay.
if you hate it and you're just like, there's no way I'll ever go back there. I don't have to, you can go to the public high school. You're good. Okay. No problem. Just try it.
And does that mean sports would have been like, I know you said they didn't have sports, but were you, could you still do rec leagues or club or anything? Or were you just,
no, I mean, there was nothing.
Goodbye to sports.
Basically. Now there might've been some, I think that even the rec league in town was not high school. Like, I think it kind of just stopped.
Was that hard to let go of, you know, cause sometimes we have to let go of something to move to something. Was that, so do you remember that being a hard moment?
I don't.
Okay.
Which is really interesting to me. And nobody's ever asked me that question. Because what happened was I went there actually starting in eighth grade, not ninth, but in eighth grade, and I loved it. I fell in love with it.
Wow, I got chills for what
I know.
I really
with
did.
With art
like, that's
and
such
with
a
creativity.
Cool thing,
and you know what? I don't think I ever missed sports after that. And so this is an interesting question.
Yeah.
Is that was honestly probably what I was meant to be and to do.
Right.
Now, I still did things like mountain biking and rock climbing, some of the stuff, the individual things. And I raced mountain bikes and I did a lot of stuff and I was still active and all that. Yeah. But I didn't miss the team sports anymore. It just kind of like faded away like so quickly because I think I found something that was my true passion or calling. Yeah. I thought sports was it,
so
but it really
you,
wasn't.
What did you love about it? You said you loved it. What? Explain that.
I don't even know if I know the answer to it. It just felt right to me. And maybe it was just the fact of creating every single day or being creative in an environment. And like I said earlier, I can't draw. I still can't draw to this day. But I love making things and I love creating things and thinking big thoughts and doing all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so that is a huge part of being an identity in art school is you're just there to learn and to create and to build and to do whatever. And the school that I was in just was so great about allowing me to focus on things like ceramics and photography and sculpture and some of the things that I liked more than drawing. I didn't have to do a lot of drawing and painting and things like that. I was able to focus on some of the things that I liked the most, which are these more dimensional forms of art. And I absolutely loved it. And I thrived there. I did really well. Ended up going there from eighth grade all the way through senior in high school. And I have friends from literally all over the world because of it. It was a boarding school.
Oh, I see.
And kids would literally come from all over the world to study art, music, dance, theater. It was a very, very special place.
So what did they think when they thought you didn't have to travel to get here? Like,
I know I was a day student. Or, so I lived at home. Weird. I was a day student. There's a small percentage of the population that lives at home and that's from town or whatever.
And that there wasn't like a stigma on you guys for like, these guys are from,
no stigma. No.
Yeah. Nice.
Just an awesome experience.
Well, I think what's awesome about just like letting your creativity breathe, you know, it's like sometimes we think a creative person, art, you know, music, it's got to be something specific, but creativity lends itself to all kinds of things in the world and in the corporate environment, you know, because my oldest daughter, I see the creative juice in her and in most of my kids. I told my oldest, she's like, what do you think I should be? I was like, you're going to be in some kind of design. I don't know what that means, but you're going to design something, you know, whether it's ideas, concepts, you know, even like in relationship, there's like creativity for who to meet with, how strategic ways to connect with people. So I just think it's awesome that sounds like that school is more just like, just let your creativity breathe and, you know, the sky is the limit.
Yeah.
So,
and it's very rigorous. There's, again, people pay a lot of money and they come from all over the world for this school. So it's very rigorous, but it's also, it is an art school and it is designed to get people out of their comfort zone and to think creatively and to have a different kind of a mindset. Yeah.
Did you guys get a local discount? I'm fixated on this whole local thing.
So,
like just how crazy it is that this school is right.
I know. And this, it literally
wild.
To this day is one of the most expensive schools in the entire country for high school.
Wow.
But I happened to go there for basically almost free. My mom worked at the school or she got a job at the school.
Yeah.
The first year I got to go there though was really all about the school I was going to closed its doors.
It was
like an 80-year-old school. It just closed in the middle of the year. And they said, and this other school said, we'll accept all of the day students for this semester. And then after that, you can figure out what you want. So I had the chance to go there and then my mom got a job there And me and my brother both actually graduated from there too. Wow. So
I'm loving this. Cool. See, these are the questions. Like, I think if we just got coffee, I probably wouldn't ask these kind of questions. Mm-hmm. But I know. Really, I'm just like, what the journey? So take me from there. Like, what's then? Yep. So you're in this school you love.
Yeah.
You're finding out what kind of your potential you have. Then what?
So then I said, okay, well now it's time to figure out college. Mm-hmm. I knew at that moment that I was likely to go to an arts college as well, because I figured that's what I knew that would be good. Mm-hmm. But I didn't
this
want
this working for you.
Yeah, right. Right. It's working for me, right? But I knew that I didn't want a career making art like ceramics or photography. I felt like that would just be a difficult path. Yeah. That it would be hard to make a lot of money. It'd be a grind. It would just be something that was difficult. But I liked the idea of design. And from a very young age, I think even in my, even maybe pre-art school days, I had loved the idea of creating logos for companies. Like that was something that just, that just resonated with me, as this idea of saying, can I take a company, a name, and create something that's an identity for them. Mm-hmm. And is that a creative profession? And absolutely it is a creative profession. Yeah. And so I applied to some different art schools that also had design programs. And so that's how I ended up here in Kansas City.
Wow.
Back in the day, art schools from all over the country would travel to other high schools. And so I was recruited essentially from California, to Kansas City Art Institute.
Wow.
And so on my 18th birthday, literally I got on a plane for like the second time in my entire life. I got on an airplane and I flew to Kansas City by myself with bags full of luggage my entire life. And I'd never been here before. I didn't know where I was going. The school at the time didn't even have a place for me to stay. And they were just like, just get here and we'll figure it out. And I was like, okay. And it was my 18th birthday. It was the first day I arrived here in Kansas City. So
how did that feel?
It felt so scary.
You were terrified.
Oh, dude. But excited, right? Yeah, so terrified, but excited. I didn't even know how I was going to get from the airport to the school.
Oh my goodness.
This was there was no Uber, right?
Yeah.
And so it was just, okay, they were like, maybe there's a shuttle to get to the Marriott, which is 2 blocks away. And so I just go to the Marriott, and then I'm walking down the street with all my luggage. Gosh. And I just show up on campus and I'm like, I'm here. And they're like, you know, so it was just a weird, weird, weird experience. So
did you stay in the hotel for a while?
No, they, basically the day before I left, they said, we're not sure if we're gonna have a dorm room for you yet, but just get here. We'll find a couch for you to crash on. We'll figure it out.
Wow.
And the day that I got there, the orientation day, one of the dorm rooms opened up and I ended up getting a spot in the dorm. And so it worked out. Everything worked out.
Yeah.
But it was just it was just such a weird, part of my life and experience. And I hadn't even really traveled that much up to that point.
Yeah.
It was just me and my bag, no cell phones, of course.
Yeah.
And all my luggage just walking down the street.
Can you imagine no
Midtown
cell
Kansas
phones?
City.
Can you imagine like that? That's mind blowing. Even to me now, even though I lived in that time, it's like no cell phones. How do you make that work?
You know,
you carry coins to use payphones, and you go in places. Can I use your phone?
I know.
And they look at you like, they slide across the counter to you and you're at the front desk of a restaurant calling, your mom or your, so how hard is it to get into the Kansas City Art Institute? I mean, what was,
you have to apply.
Like they wanted you, they were like, get here. We're going to find a way to make this work. Clifton, we saw something in what your application process that made us want you. Right?
I think going to the school I went to helped a lot because I think they figure anyone from that school is going to be, is going to thrive at this school.
Yeah,
so I think that helps a lot, but they knew I wanted to go into design, but they were looking at ceramics and photography because that was the only work that I had. I'd never designed anything in my life at that point.
Yeah.
But it is as far as I know and understand, it's a decently rigorous process to apply and to be accepted. And, and so that was, so I ended up making it and here I am.
And here, people from Kansas City probably applying like crazy. And here comes in this walking in with two bags from a small town in Mountain, California.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, congratulations on that. Yeah. That's a huge,
that was cool.
I think like wins like that are so big at the time that they just get smaller and smaller as we get older. But do you ever reflect back on that and think, dang, how awesome is that? That, you know what I mean? Like that's a big win.
That's a really good point because I think, you're right. Like, I don't really think about that story that much anymore.
Yeah.
But if I really do think about the pivotal part of my life, that eighth grade year when I was kind of not forced, but pushed into art, essentially. And then that graduation year and coming here for the first time, just all of the difficulties surrounding those things and the fact that I did it and made it, like, that is a pretty pivotal moment in my life.
Oh yeah.
And the fact that it happened is like, oh, I can't forget about that.
Yeah. You know,
that's part of the story. And how I got here today and what I'm doing right now.
Well, with a possibility mindset, it makes it so much easier to ask what else is possible
when
you reflect back and you count your blessings and think, man, if that was possible, think about how impossible that felt at the time. Yeah. What else is possible now?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's your next Kansas City Art Institute? You know, even though you've come so far, like, what else is possible for Clifton right now? You know, so I think that's one of the things, and I don't do it enough, journal and think about, man, what big wins did I have today? You know, I've heard it said it's good to, like, write down your three wins you had for the day and the three big wins you want to have tomorrow, and just keep that guy, just keeps those possibilities going, you know? So your story is just, you know, possibilities all over the place. So,
tons.
So what was college like? How long were you there? Tell me about that.
Typical 4 years, lived in the dorm a couple of years, lived out of the dorm. College was very, rigorous in the sense that we were working all the time, all the time.
It'd be like an architect equivalent, like, in terms of time put in.
We're putting in tons and tons of time. But the thing about art is, and this happens to this day, even with client work, is you don't know how long something's going to take.
Oh, yeah.
There is no formula. You cannot sit there and say, this logo design for this client is going to take this amount of time.
Yeah.
This piece of artwork is going to take this amount of time. Right. You start getting into it and you tweak and iterate and tweak and iterate, and you don't know how long it's going to take. And sometimes it takes a really long time. And so we would be working all the time. Me and the folks in my studio, in our design school, we're just always there. If we weren't in academic classes, we were in the studio sometimes all night, all the time.
I was going to say, how many all nighters do you think you pulled in 4 years?
So many. And we spent so much time together in the school, during class, but then after hours from 6-7 o'clock at night, all the way until midnight, almost every night, just working on projects together. And it was such a cool experience in so many different ways, right? A lot of great experience, but that was what college life was about. But we had this one teacher. There were two different teachers in our, and I love telling this story too. There's two different teachers in our design school, and half the students had one teacher and half the students had the other teacher. Probably a third to a half of the students in my group with my one teacher couldn't handle she was too hard.
Wow.
She was a hard, and she expected a lot. Like, she expected so much, and she was brutal in a lot of ways. And so literally half those kids transferred out and went to the other.
You can do teacher. That.
Now, I guess, right?
you can now.
Yeah. And both teachers were great. I didn't have any issues with both teachers. Both teachers were great, but she was just really, really, really hard. And me and a small core group of kids stuck with this teacher. And you know what? We're better for it, because the things that we learned from her, I don't think we would have learned if we had stepped back from that and said, let's take the little bit easier path.
Interesting.
We ended up just bonding so well together as a group, but we also learned a lot about work ethic and how to overcome adversity and how to deal with someone who is really difficult. At the end of the day, she was not a difficult person. She was an incredible person.
Yeah.
She expected a lot. And when we gave her a lot, she was incredible.
Oh, wow.
And so that was the part of it that was, that I loved was we became very close with her, the teacher, because we were putting in the work that she was expecting. And when she would get hard or when she would get mean, so to speak, was when students weren't putting in the work.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest piece for me, was learning how to deal with that sort of thing, and learning how to go around it, and how to do what's needed in order to succeed in that environment. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that me and the group that were part of that ended up ultimately in a better place because of it. And again, I don't speak bad about anything, because I think the other students, incredible. I know all of them. We're all doing great things today.
Yeah.
But for me at that time, that was what I needed, right? And me in that small group. It's maybe it's more in that sense.
Okay.
Is it was different. It was right for you. It was what we needed, our small group, and the other group needed something different, and everybody needs something different.
Wow. That's crazy. And did you have that awareness at the time where you're like, this is hard? She's good. Like, I see the good in this. I'm going to stay. You had the awareness at the time.
We knew how to get on her good side, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just about doing the work. It wasn't like she was just like, you can get on my good side by just doing more work. I mean, that was part of it, but it was also listening and understanding how she worked and kind of, just real understanding how she worked, right? Learning her intricacies and what she was looking for was part of that too.
Yeah.
And I think we knew at the time.
Yeah. Well, what a cool life lesson that you're able to adapt to. This person expects this, but at least the expectations are clear.
Yeah.
So you're able to, that's one thing Brad talked about last week, Brad Ellis, our friend. He's like, I love knowing what people expect.
Sure.
And so that teacher had those expectations. So you could not only know the expectation, but adapt to that and realize that the parts that are hard with this teacher, it's going to make me stronger. It's going to make me better. I love that you knew that at such a young age, man. That's crazy. So then from there, you know, you go through college and you're working with, now are you with kind of like the same, say you're working on a project and a project, what takes months or a semester?
Sometimes,
so you're working with the same small core group on this big project long-term.
We each had our own individual versions of projects, but we had the same task or the same directive.
I see.
And we all individually, there were some group projects that we worked on or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
And so that continued throughout.
Okay. So 4 years of art school, you make it through any other significant moments in that?
No, I don't think, anything super significant. Yeah. Just art school. Cool. Yeah. It was awesome. Design school.
Yeah. You graduated. And before you started Reactor, there was maybe a couple other,
got a couple of jobs in industry. And the one of the jobs I had was with a really big ad agency here in town. It was, it was a good job. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the job I wanted, but it was one of those scenarios where I had to just kind of take a job to get to get my foot in the door.
Sure.
A lot of the younger folks today want to come out of college and go right into the career that they want, or they want to jump right into being the lead person at some agency or whatever. And I have to remind them a lot. I have to say, you know, it's okay to start somewhere else. It's okay to start in a position that's lower or being low on the totem pole to start and work your way up. Because that's what we have to do in life in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so I don't love it when students come right out of college and expect to be put in a leadership position any kind of job, right?
Yeah.
And so I started at the very low end of the totem pole. And one of the things that I noticed about the big agency life was there was a lot of what is like the telephone game kind of scenario. So I'm working on a design and then I'm giving it to a person who's then transferring it to this person, and then they're presenting it to the client. And then the client says, okay, I don't like this, yeah. And then it goes to this person, and then back to this person, and then back to me.
Sure.
And then I say, well, but did you ask them this? Or did you, you know, it was like, I was so low on the totem pole. I was never in a client meeting, none of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And I hated that environment.
Yes.
Like there is nothing, that is the way a very large agency has to function, because there's so much moving parts that they have to have some process around things.
Well, and you're so relational. I bet you were just dying to talk to the
client.
Me. Like, can I just go meet with
them? It was killing
them?
Me.
You know,
Yeah. That was the thing. It was, I understand how a large agency has to work, and I get that. Yeah. Right.
Right.
But that was not for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. And then I was passed up for a promotion opportunity. I was like, I'm out of here. So I can't handle this anymore. Right. And so I went to work for a different firm and had a great experience, had a lot more, a little more direct client, information. I was still pretty low in the totem, but I had some decent client interaction.
And was this just like an extremely humbling experience coming from your art background to bottom of it? Even like you said, you know, that's kind of maybe what
I wasn't
expected,
even,
but still a little humbling. Like
I wasn't even really designing that much. A lot of what I was doing was just production work.
I see.
You know,
I see.
But I was okay with that. I was like, I'm fine with that. This is a way to get into the industry.
Cool.
It's a way to hone my skills.
Yeah,
it's a way to do all these sorts of things to get to where I need to go.
Awesome.
That's fine.
Awesome.
You know?
Cool.
And so then I worked for this other firm, and then this firm at some point. I loved the job. It was a fine job. Mm-hmm. Loved the people I was working with. And then the company, a large company, they decided to eliminate the entire department that I was in. So it was just a, they said, all right, we're an architecture firm. We don't really need to have design, graphic design in-house anymore. Okay. It doesn't make sense. And so we're eliminating your entire department. And so I was like, okay.
I'm surprised to hear that an architecture firm had graphic designers in the first place.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, a lot still do to this day. Okay. So it's a fairly standard practice. And it's not as much marketing type of graphic design. It's more signage and wayfinding and, okay, and okay, identity.
Come on, hey, come on. You're good. You're good, man. Yeah, just whatever. We're just chill, bro. Yeah. You can go up there right here, man. Right. Yeah. Okay. He's navigating through tables over there. We got the Minsky's people in today. Minsky's! Another shout out. Let's go. My favorite pizza place in Kansas City. Absolutely. I don't just say it because they're right there. No. I'm like, Minsky's.
Absolutely.
My kids aren't as into Minsky's. I'm like, what is...
I know. It's too fancy.
Anyway, I think you're right. I think they're used to just like, you know, rectangle pizza and whatnot. So, okay. Yeah. So anyway, so you were talking, the architecture had the graphic, but not so much for marketing, more for like...
Signage, wayfinding, okay, dimensional kind of stuff where you're putting logos and things.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. So they just like, goodbye.
Yeah. And so my bosses at the time, we were still in the middle of client projects. And so they were like, we're going to start a firm and we're going to take these client projects.
Yeah.
Do you want to join us? And me and my wife for probably a year had been talking about the idea of me going out on my own and starting a firm. It's something that I had always kind of wanted to do. And I said, man, there's not a better time.
Yeah.
We were fairly newly married. We didn't have kids yet. Life was simple. And
we got a little room for risk here.
We had a little room for risk. And so we just said, you know what? I said to those guys, I would love to, but this is my opportunity to start something on my own. If it doesn't work, maybe I'll come back to you guys or whatever, but let's.
What a pivotal moment, right? Just because we know where the story ends, it's like, imagine if you'd gone down the other path 20 years ago. Yeah. Imagine if you'd gone down the other path. You know what I mean?
I think about that every once in a while and I go, I don't know. And not that this has been all roses and sunshine and has been great for 20 years, but, cause there's a lot of hard things that happen, but I also legitimately cannot imagine myself working for someone else.
Yeah. Like you had the entrepreneurial fire lit in you and you were like, I have to do this. Yeah. I remember that feeling. I was that same way 20 years ago and I was like, this is going to happen. So, So that's when you started.
And I started Reactor.
Your whole process that you just named about starting on the totem pole, starting small, I call it start small or start ugly, start small, pick up the ball. So I feel like with you, you picked up the ball with, you know, every time you went out and found a new job. And then with Reactor, that was a big ball you picked up.
Old ball.
So here we are. Let me just say congratulations on 20 years,
Thank you.
Man.
Yeah, it was 20 years ago.
That's, and I just actually celebrated my 20th year. So it's so funny that like same amount of time we've been in business. But that's so great, man. 20 years. So... Yeah, I mean, I want to hear so much about Reactor. I will say that I remember during those days I was doing magic at Fazoli's Kids Night, like 20 years ago, and you came in with your family at the time, so you had tiny little kids.
I did.
If you even had kids at that time.
Probably. If we were coming in, well, I don't know. We lived near you. I remember seeing you a couple times.
So I don't know if you were there for Kids Night or if you were just there for lasagna, but I remember seeing you, and I remember I needed a logo and stuff like that, and I was just like, oh, you do that. And you use the word we. Oh, we could look at that. I was like, who's we? Because like me, it's like Devin Henderson, the magician. That's all that I am. Yeah. But now I'm hearing this we thing. And kind of the first time I'd ever been introduced to, you can build a team of people around you. I know you're very big about hiring the right people, hiring people who are better than you at certain roles so that you can be freed up to let your creativity continue to breathe and move forward. So tell me about the whole who, not how. But I don't know if you've heard that book, Who, Not How. Yeah. What's that look like for you?
The whole we for the, and I used that word from day one, even when it was literally just me.
Okay. Right? All right.
Because I saw the possibility of being more than just myself in this business.
I love that, dude.
The reason I didn't start the business as Clifton Alexander Design or my name is Clifton and I'm a freelancer. The reason I didn't do that from day one is because I wanted to build a company. I wanted to do something different than what I experienced at the agency with the telephone.
Okay.
I wanted to have more direct connection with clients. I wanted to have a team of designers. And I never wanted, even though I started with the we and I started with building a company from ground up, I never wanted it also to be a very large company. Mm-hmm. So I knew, you know, Because I am a relational kind of person. I went to a very tiny high school in a very tiny town.
Yeah.
Even Kansas City Art Institute, very small school. Kansas City is a big town with a small vibe to
it.
That's me. So I never wanted to build a very large ad agency, but I knew it was it had to be more than just me. So from day one, it was we're going to look at this thing. And eventually I got an intern and got an office and then just started kind of building from there.
That is so cool. Well, so in the first couple of years, I mean, did you have was it a rough start?
It was a very rough start. Okay, I will tell you, and my wife deserves so much credit
for just supporting me
and thinking and just sticking with me through
and
all
seeing
this.
Seeing the long-term vision, this is necessary to go through this.
Just supported me for all those years because it was like I had very little client interaction. Mm. I had no idea what a proposal looked like. I had never been involved in pricing conversations or writing proposals.
Because in the ad agency, you were way down.
I was way down
here. You didn't see all that happening.
Even in the other company I was working with, I had a little bit of client interaction, but it was never on the level of writing a proposal or bidding out work or scoping work or anything like that. It was just somebody did that or sales, right? Somebody did that. And then I just was there to help create and whatever. And so I basically created everything. I just learned. I talked to people. I made a lot of mistakes. I thought when I launched this thing that I could just send a postcard or some emails to people and they would just hire me. And that's how it worked.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
And so I created a lot of stuff and I put it out there and then like the calls didn't come in. These are people I didn't even know. So I thought if I just mail stuff to all the cool businesses near me, that they would just be like, oh, great, a designer. I need branding. I'm going to hire this guy, right? That is not how it works, man. That is not how it works.
How disappointing is that you put all that time in designing, mailing, looking up
addresses? Very disappointing.
That's what we were doing at the time. It wasn't even email yet. It was like hard mailing.
I literally just found like, what are the cool businesses in downtown Shawnee? Because that's where I lived. Mm-hmm. And I said, what are the cool businesses? They could use some help. And so I just send them something in the mail and expected a phone call.
Yeah.
Right. I learned so much about how business development works. And now after 20 years, I will tell you that it has not changed. It is 100% relationships, man. It is relational. I know you probably feel the same way.
Yeah.
It is people that you have met. It's people that you've already done business with or connections therein, right?
And see, that's what was different about your start and my start. As a magician, I was face-to-face with people in a natural
set.
I didn't have to like I was thinking like, oh, one thing you could have done with Downtown Shawnee was like knocked on doors and walked in. Not that I'm saying that'd be effective, but that'd be the closest thing you could get to some kind of face-to-face interaction where mine just lent itself to, I'm just in front of these people. Here's my business cards. And
it was just an easier start,
you know? So this is a...
But you're creating that relationship from the beginning.
Yes,
where the person that's hiring you is saying, I've seen this person and I've talked to them and I really like what they do and they're good at it. And so I want that for me.
Yeah.
And so, so design and branding and business is the same way where you have to have those relationships built in or some kind of connection. Otherwise a person, I won't say that I've never gotten business from somebody just randomly finding out about who we are because every once in a while I do, but it is by far the exception to the rule. Almost every other piece of business in 20 years is some person I've met at a networking thing or a connection or a relationship or an existing client.
And that's what I was going to, one of my questions for you was going to be like, what would you tell the young entrepreneur? What's the best thing to do? And it sounds like
network,
build relationships, go to chambers, right? Like go to socials, like, after hours, whatever,
start talking to people, start meeting people, start building relationships, take people to coffee, take them to lunch, jump on podcasts if you can, if you have something of value to share to the world, try to get a small lunch speaking gig at a chamber event or try to figure out a way to get your name out there in any way that you can. Mm-hmm. Build content online. I am terrible at that, but it is a great way to build an expertise in something. Mm-hmm. You're doing it with the podcast. You've been doing it for a long time with videos and with things like that where the more someone Googles your name and the more you show up in some type of expert opinion or expertise, the more they're likely to hire you for something.
So take us past the turbulence. How'd you get through it? Yeah. What it looked like when you came out at higher altitude? What was...
I think it gets real when you hire someone,
okay,
and then when you have an office, like that's when it really starts to feel like a business where you're saying, okay, now it's no longer just me. I have to now feed another person. And now that person, maybe they even have a family and I'm now having to feed their family,
yeah,
whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And so that becomes a real, like, okay, now I've got to really hustle and make sure that I am all in on this because there are people that are counting on me now.
Wow.
Not just my own family, but other people's families. Yeah. And that's a whole different ball game, right? And so that's when
like
it feels
a new
real.
Level of commitment.
It is. Like it is a level of commitment.
You brought him in, and now you're committed to like support.
Yeah.
Quote unquote, support all these people. You
and know? So that was a scary moment, hiring like full time. I had had an intern. This person interned with me for a little bit first. And then I said, you know what? We are too busy. We're doing too good of things. And I don't want you to go get a job somewhere else. You want to come work with me and let's do it. And so he was my very first hire. Ended up working for me for 17 years
Dang.
Out of the 20 years. And absolutely incredible run that we had.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So building your team, I mean, it sounds like that was kind of what helped you get past it, was making that commitment, building the team, and then you have to up your game, but now you've got these people around you to help you and support you, and that helps.
So there's more, exactly.
Past the hard
to
part.
To help me learn and build process and creative, you know, there is no set way to build a brand for a company.
Yeah.
There are things that you can do that are best practices, but there are things that we learn through experience and that I bring in with team members who have different ideas and new ideas to say, can we help a company build their brand in this way? Or can we get to the end in a different way? How can we do that? And so we slowly tweak our process and we slowly tweak our creative ways that we do things over the years, depending on the type of expertise that we have in house, depending on who we have working for us. And we've had as many as 7 full-time people, as few as just myself and one other person over the years. And so we've kind of ebbed and flowed over the years. But just staying in business, I've found, is maybe more difficult than growing a business, if that makes sense, right? Because sometimes you have to just take what comes, and sometimes you have to try and go out and get whatever you can get. But it is really hard to go out and get business when the only way you can get business is if people are ready for it. So there is, so you know that everybody has to eat. So you're a restaurant and you say, everybody's got to eat at some point. I can find enough people likely that are need to eat something, but with design, with branding, with the stuff that we do, even with marketing, a lot of companies, even if they know they need it, they might already have it.
Yeah.
And so how do you find the timing that's exactly right with someone? So even if you meet someone and you have a great relationship, the timing might not be right.
Right.
I have clients now that are great clients that I had started talking to 6, 7, 8 years beforehand.
Yeah.
Before I ever got something for them. And that is a really long slog of just keeping after it, or just keeping relationships up, or just thinking eventually they're going to need something. Eventually they're going to be unhappy with whoever they're at, or whatever. You know?
I've seen the same thing too, where you're like, this may not pay off right now, but just keep loving people.
At some point.
Keep relational. Yeah. And I remember at one point in time, it might've been one of the Fazoli's visits, you gave me a business card of some, like, cause I was like, what do you guys do? And you're like, we focus on print.
Yeah.
You know, so at the time you were very much into print, and you gave me this really cool, like almost origami type business card that like opened up, and I don't know, I can't remember, but I was like, that's really cool. So I know that was your focus at one time. So what's that progression been like for the various types of specific services you've offered over the years?
There was a point in time where, and kind of going back to my art school days, where I liked creating things. I liked physical things. And we get into a world where, especially like starting in the early 2000s, where everybody was so all in on technology, on websites, on everything, that businesses said, why do we need to do anything physical anymore? Physical things cost money. Web is inexpensive, whatever. So let's get rid of anything physical.
Okay.
And let's just focus on doing everything digital.
Yeah.
And you can't, as a human, literally, it is built into our nature. It is built into us as beings to be relational, to touch, to feel, to experience all the senses. Mm. And one of the things that web or digital experiences does not do is it does not hit on all of the senses.
Yeah.
It hits on one sense or two senses or whatever. It doesn't hit on everything.
Sure.
And so I saw this, like this overcorrection of society of saying like, we're going too far into the, all digital realm. And we as humans just can't, it's not good for us.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fit into our nature. And so we're going to eventually swing back the other way.
Okay.
And so we said, let's get ahead of that. And let's just
dig while there's
that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Let's just get ahead of that. And let's go all in on just saying we're going to be the best, in the world at creating things that are physical and tactile and all that sort of thing. We found out pretty quickly that it was a good strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But our clients needed not just those things. Okay. They needed other things. They needed digital along with the physical and all that stuff. And what I found was as we would create something physical for someone, even physical being a brand, then we would hand it off to somebody else to finish it, to do all the digital stuff. And we were never happy with what we, what we experienced back. And we had great vendors and we had great partners, but we were never really happy with that. And so we said, you know what, maybe this isn't the best idea because we do have to live in a society where things are integrated. I'm still a firm believer that we have to come back to some physical things, but digital is here to stay.
So
we couldn't quite figure out that process of how do we create our things in the physical world and hand them off and still be happy with what we were giving to our clients. And so we slowly started getting back into being more of an integrated firm. And so right now I'd say we're definitely more of an integrated firm. We have things that we specialize in where we are creating brands. We're helping companies grow with their identity, their brand, their voice, their marketing, and all those sorts of things. But we can help the client in all of those aspects.
Okay.
We don't do all of those things in-house 100%. Mm-hmm. There are some things that we do that we're really, really, really good at. And we have great partners that we work with that we will either pass off to, or we will manage like a general contractor, right?
Okay. Yeah.
We're managing the drywall. We're managing the electrical. We're managing the website build. We're managing the digital marketing, or we're managing whatever. Okay. We're still in charge of the brand and how everything looks, but we're not passing it off completely. And we're still managing that.
Okay.
So we're much more integrated to this day.
Yeah.
I also found that it was very difficult to make money just doing the printed things because the printed things themselves can be kind of expensive.
Okay.
Which is great. And companies like that, they love the physical, whatever.
Yeah.
But when I tell them I'm going to charge you thousands and thousands of dollars to come up with this thing, and then they're like, and then I got to pay for the, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, it became a weird thing. So we still do it from time to time, like when people really need it or it's part of the plan. But our focus really right now is on the brand itself.
Okay.
How do we build a brand and create an identity for a company?
Which you do great job. You have your own personal brand with the orange and the glasses and the cool hair and just everything you got going on. Just your personality, your smile.
Thanks.
We took a selfie for Instagram. You're just like, you know, it's so cool that like I can like, that's who you are.
Yep.
You know, like if you can do that with yourself, that's like a good indication you can help other people do that. You know, I want to kind of give you a pitch. You know, you didn't ask for it, but I would just want like people who are looking for logos. So I want to get there, but just a couple like sort of business or life philosophies you have. I know one of your big things is like, just ask.
Yeah.
Right. Just tell me about that.
Yeah. I tell this to my kids. I've been doing this for a long time. Sometimes I speak on literally personal branding to college students and things like that and how to build a brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my number one things is just ask. And all that means, literally all that means is if there's something in front of you and there's a person that's essentially the gatekeeper to that thing, just ask. If you don't ask, you're not going to know. And the very first time I experienced this was in college. And it's kind of what set it up. I was working on a project where I had to do something related to Union Station. At the time, Union Station was under construction. It was decrepit. They were building it back up. It was under construction. I needed to get some pictures of Union Station. Down on the ground, I was kind of like, I don't really like the way these look. And then I looked, there's a building in Crown Center across the street from Union Station. And I said, if I could get up to the top of that building and look down, I could take some really cool pictures. And so I literally just walked in to the front desk and I said, I'm an art student and I'm doing a project and I need some photographs of Union Station from up high. Is there any way I could like get onto the roof or whatever?
Yeah.
And the security guard was like, well, I can't get you on the roof or whatever. He's like, however, there are some office spaces in this building that have like a window and like a little balcony. He's like, I could probably just walk you up there and just kind of like let you go out and take a picture. And I was like, Nice. Okay. And he let me up there. Nice. So we didn't go on the roof, but we got up high.
Okay.
And we just opened some random person's office window. Yeah. And I stepped out, took a pictures and left. Nice. And there were some other things that happened in school where I created some cool projects with the same thing. I literally would just call someone and say, I'm an art student. I'm creating a sculpture. I'm creating a project. Do you have anything you'd be willing to donate or whatever?
Yeah.
And I tell this to my kids all the time as well. I was with my kids at a minor league baseball game and I was looking at all the people that go around and they film kids and they answer trivia questions.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder how the kids get on the screen. And I was with my kids and this lady was walking around with a camera and she had this little notepad and I said, kids, come here, let's go. And so I walked down to the lady and I just said, hey, how do the kids get on the screen?
Yeah.
I just asked her.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I'm the person who handles that. And I've got a slot between the fourth and fifth inning.
Wow.
Do you want to come back down and meet me here and one of your kids can answer the trivia? I was like,
dude,
let's go. Right. So it's those kind of things where you always wonder at the stadium, you're like, how do those people get to be the person on the screen?
Yes.
Sometimes somebody literally just saw somebody walking around with a clipboard and asked them, can I be on screen? And they go, okay. You know, and you're just like, what the heck?
It applies to anything. I think about even in anything. Restaurants, we'll sit and we'll be seated where we don't want to be. Just ask. Can we sit over there? Why not? The worst that can happen is you get a no, right?
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing happens is you get a no. And so I say that is a philosophy that I live by. I'm not always great at it, to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm scared to ask or sometimes I don't want to. But it is something that I try to instill in my kids as much as I can. And then I always put that as part of my talk when I talk about personal branding with college students is like, you don't know what someone's going to say unless you ask. And like, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Right? They could just say no.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Well, speaking of networking, we got to let you cut here soon because you got a client meeting. You got to go network.
And I got a client meeting.
Last thing before we kind of give you a shout out and find out what you do or how you can help people specifically, why do people love working for you so much? I mean, I could guess the answer to that, but obviously you're doing something. You're letting their creativity breathe or something that makes someone stick around for 17 years. People would love to know, how do we retain these employees?
Yeah.
You know, what's your secret sauce,
it's
man?
It is a tough business to have employees. It is a tough thing to keep people as long as possible. The 17-year thing is definitely an anomaly, I'll be honest with you.
All right.
Especially in my industry, most people don't stick around more than 2 to 4 or 5 years. And we've experienced a lot of that too. But when we interview candidates, a lot of times a candidate will say, what do you like about the job? And I'm sitting there in the interview and my employees will answer that question.
Yeah.
And I love to hear the answers to that because it gives me a little bit of an insight in terms of like, what is my employee thinking and how are they reacting to that? But, you know, at the end of the day, yes, I am like the boss or the leader or whatever, but there's a lot of autonomy that I want to instill in the folks that are working for me.
Okay.
In the sense of saying, we have a great culture. We are able to create our own schedules. We're able to do the things that we're really good at. And I think that's a big piece of the puzzle where people say, I want to work at a place where I feel valued and where I feel like I'm getting the best of who I can be, but I'm also learning and growing and doing all those things. And I think those are a lot of the answers that I see is like, we have things like flexible work schedules. That's great. A lot of people can do that, but there's also the personal growth, potential and all those sorts of things. We don't have a ladder to climb. We're a small company. You're not going to go from this position to this, you know, you're not going to just keep climbing the ladder. So how do you grow in that way? And a lot of that to me is autonomy and is saying, I don't care that you're only 22 years old or 24 years old. If you have a really freaking good idea related to the operation of the company, related to a client related to how we can be better at something, I'm all ears. Let's do it. Let's try it. Because people are inherently wired to be good at certain things. And I'm here to say, how can we get those things out of you?
Yeah.
Right.
Nice.
How do we get those things out of you?
Yeah.
And I don't want to ever be in that position where I say, I've been doing this 20 years and this is just how it has to be.
Yeah.
Now there are certain things where I will push back.
Okay.
If one of my employees has an idea and I'll push back and I'll push back and I'll push back. But if they're so passionate about it and they see it more than I can see it, there may be a point where I eventually say, you know what? Let's try it.
Wow.
Let's see what happens.
You are the Michelangelo who sees the David in your employees. And you're like, let's just do my part to chip away what we can to bring out that beauty. I love that. And, and people can probably feel that and sense that. Like, I have a chance here to like live out my true purpose.
Yeah. And I'll argue with them about it because I want to know how. And part of me arguing and like pushing and pushing and pushing is saying, I have been doing this 20 years and this is what has worked up to this point. So why should we change this?
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Okay. I can see that. And so the more that I argue, the more I get that like nuggets back of saying, okay, maybe the world is different than it was 20 years ago. And so maybe we should think about doing things differently. And then it's like, okay, well, let's experiment with it. Let's take a smaller client. Let's try it with that.
Yeah.
And let's see how it works as a group. And if it works great, then I'm okay with changing our process to make that work.
I love how you're open to like possible change, possibly like pushing your thinking and all, especially
that's the only way to stay alive, man.
Yeah. And the communication thing is huge. I think about parenting. We got to be talking to our kids about their ideas and fight with them, you know, like in a healthy way, like challenge their thinking, let them challenge your thinking. Yep. And I think that's why
it's not about,
a huge part of why you're thriving.
It's not about being argumentative. It's about, it's about making sure that their argument back is not a frivolous one.
Right.
That it's a real argument, that it's a real reason and not just say, well, because this is how I want to do it. It's like, okay, why? Right. Yeah. And why should we change the way we've been doing things for all these years?
Right.
To accommodate that, and let's figure it out. Maybe we experiment and try some things. And
what a great way to learn, man. Yeah. Hey, we got to let you cut loose here, Clifton, to get to your meeting. So quick question. You know, there's people out there listening who, whether they know it or not, need a brand or maybe need an update on their existing brand. How can you help those people?
So that is exactly what we do, is we take companies that have never existed before, and we take companies that are sometimes 100 years old, and we help them to grow who they are. We help them to build an identity, to build a brand, to market themselves, to get out there in the world. And that's everything from logos and voice to marketing to social media to everything in between. And that is it. And so reactor.design is our website. It's pretty easy. I don't know if you have to put a www in front of it. Probably
I don't know. We'll figure it out. You know,
reactor.design.
Reactor, make sure R-E-A-C-T-O-R.
Just, simple. Like, reactor.design. That's the name of our company. And
you're like,
with a
you
dot
don't need
in the
to
middle.
Spell it. I chose it specifically, Devin, so you wouldn't have to spell it out.
Just the name of our company with a dot in the middle. That's our website. We have tons of case studies. There's easy ways to get in touch with me and to look at more of our team and the type of work we do. But that is really all about it. It's about growing brands. It's about building brands. One of the things that I love to do the most is working with companies that are experiencing some sort of change or core difference in their core, who they are. So like we've worked with companies that are 80 years old or 50 years old who have felt like they're not in the same place as they were all those years ago.
Sure.
And they may need not just an identity change, but a name change. That is a big deal. And so we work with companies in that sense too. And we have helped companies change their names. We've helped them change who they are and how they are viewed in the world. And those companies then have a new lease on life at that point. And they can say, this is how we're going to survive and how we're going to continue for the next 80 years is we're going to change with the times and we're going to move and grow. And that's some of our favorite type of stuff to do. So
Clifton, Alexander from Reactor. Hey man, thanks for being here. Great connecting again.
I love it. Good to see you, brother.
And we'll put his website in the show notes. And thanks again. And also want to say thank you again to Etcetera Shawnee for sponsoring us. Thank you to Zach behind the scenes. And we'll just wrap with our catchphrase here. What else is possible? Okay, because this is what you've been asking.
Yeah.
Ever since you went to that small high school art school, you know what I mean? Like your mom's like, try it. You're like, what else is possible? Let's do it, man. I love that. So okay, so I'll say what else you say is possible.
Okay.
You ready for that?
Yep.
Okay. All right, y'all. Thanks for joining us. And remember to never stop asking the question, what else
is possible?
We'll see you next time.